live from Southern California.
It's the Slightly Serious Show.
The Slightly Serious Show. The furthest thing from serious. And now, here is your host, Slightly, along with co-host Eric from Georgia.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Slightly Serious Show. It's hump day. Yes, hump day, Wednesday. Everyone's favorite because, hell, the weekend is around the corner. And, gosh, it's been an amazingly busy day today. I have yet to have lunch today. And, we're a little bit, we're slightly late a little today. Not by a lot, a few minutes. Rushed home, got home in time and got everything prepared, fed the dog. Obviously, you have to make sure the coffee.
YouTube audio.
The coffee. Make sure the coffee's ready and all that. And we got everything ready to go, and then we got the computer going. And of all things, it says you need to update your computer before you do anything. So, my apologies. But anyways, we'll make up the 5 minutes on the end. We'll tack 5 minutes on the end. As you know, it's a slightly condensed version of the Slightly Serious Show tonight, and. We have a business meeting at tonight at 7:30, which will have to be delayed till 7:35. Anywho, a very sad, very, very, very sad day today. A man who changed radio broadcast. Broadcasting in general. And with his conservative talk show, Rush Limbaugh passed away. Back in January of 2020, he had announced that he had lung cancer and, stage 4 lung cancer diagnosis back in the day. And, I think back in December, he had his last show. And one of the things I admire about him the most, and it has nothing to do with the politics, put the politics aside, which from time to time we like to do. But here's a man. You either love the guy or you hated the guy, as far as what came out of his mouth. But no matter which side you're on, you have to have appreciation for the guy, because he's a man about free speech, allowing anybody to come onto his show, whether they agreed with him or not. And he revolutionized, in my opinion, talk shows. I cannot think of another person in the airwaves today that did as much as this guy. And I know there's a lot of sad people across this nation tonight grieving the loss of Rush. And it was very sad to hear. I know he lived longer than he was expected. I know back in December when he did his last show, he paid tribute to the fact that, hey, I've lasted longer than I expected. And, a couple of things had come up, and that's when he had made his decision to finally call it quits. He eventually was doing his show out of his home studio, I believe out in Florida. And
yes,
this morning, his wife had come on the air to announce it, I was actually listening. I heard her voice, and I was kind of expecting her to say something in regards to that he wasn't feeling well or something like that. But unfortunately, it was the news of his passing this morning. And just a little quick article from Fox News I wanted to go over. Just to pay a little tribute to Rush, monumentally influential media icon who transformed talk radio and politics in his decade behind the microphone, helping shape the modern-day Republican Party, died Wednesday morning at the age of 70 after a battle with lung cancer, his family announced. Limbaugh's wife, Catherine, made the announcement on his radio show. Quote, "Losing a loved one is terribly difficult, even more so when that loved one is larger than life," she said. Quote, "Rush will be forever be the greatest of all time." The radio icon learned he had stage 4 back in January, like we said, and was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by then President Trump at the State of the Union address days later. And First Lady Melania Trump then presented America's highest civilian honor to Limbaugh in an emotional moment on the heels of his devastating cancer diagnosis. Quote, Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country, President Trump said during the address. And he told Fox News on Wednesday afternoon, Trump did, that, quote, there aren't many too many legends around, but he is a legend. It was not clear exactly where Limbaugh passed away. He frequently broadcasted his show, like I said, in his home studio in Florida. He's considered one of the most influential media figures in American history and has played a consequential role in conservative politics since his show debuted back in 1988. And, the program began 33 years ago, national syndication. Only 56 radio stations grew to be the most listened to radio show in the United States, airing on more than 600 stations, according to the show's website. About 27 million people tuned in to listen to him every week. And, when you have that many people listening to you, you're doing something right. And Rush knew he knew how to do things the right way. And so, our condolences go out to the family, and may he rest in peace. And thank you for everything you've done for your industry, an industry that, day by day, to me, seems like it's crumbling. And that industry is the media industry. And I think one of the good guys, we lost one of the greatest guys in that industry today. So, condolences on to Rush. I'm not sure if anybody ever listened to Rush on a daily basis or every once in a while. I didn't listen to him every single day. There are times for me, he was a little too much for me, but I appreciated what he was talking about. But anybody a Rush fan or anything like that?
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, when WSB Radio out of Atlanta, picked up his show and put him on in the noon to 3 p.m. time slot, which, for Eastern time, but that would be 9 to noon for you out on the West Coast. And WSB here in the Southeast United States is being the legacy heritage station that it is. The only reason I would listen to talk radio in my car is I would only want to listen to weather and traffic updates and, some talk radio hosts, I can take some, not so much, but the only reason I would get in a habit of listening to news talk radio is because some of the music stations in Atlanta at the time had really become such a wasteland, and I know radio has changed so much in the last 20 years, there used to be a time you would have like disc jockeys on the weekends, but over the last 20 years you don't hear disc jockeys on the weekends like you used to. Everything is now on automation.
Yeah, a lot of things are on automation.
And then you probably have listened to music stations in the past, and then in recent years you would probably hear them not playing good songs that you remembered growing up, and oftentimes it would be like they're just playing the same songs to the point that they're just like running it into the ground.
Yeah, that's for sure. What about you, Perwee? Did you ever listen to Rush, or do you have any talk shows that you enjoy listening to and all that? Not sure if he was one of my favorites. Or
I used to listen to him years ago when I was in the store, not on the road. I've caught him, every now and then lately. But I'm kind of like you. I like the guy, but at times he got to be a little bit too much for me. But, if his voice wasn't out there, I think we would be in a worse place today than we are presently.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement 100%.
He brought a lot of things to light that people either didn't know about or didn't care about, and he made it a priority that it was right in their face, so... Mm-hmm. That part I'm grateful for.
And he was one that it didn't matter. There was nothing that was off limits to him. He would bring it up no matter how controversial it would be.
Yep.
And you have to respect that. Hey, welcome to the show there, Cummings. How are you?
What's going on, man?
I think he was here.
He's here.
You didn't hear him?
No, I don't hear him. Is he talking?
Yeah, he was talking. He is. He was clicking.
Oh, I don't hear him at all.
Try again, Cummins.
I see his. I see his him being lit up, but I don't hear. Now
him. Yeah, now he's not.
Let him try calling back.
Let's try that again. Welcome to the show again, Cummins. How are you?
Can you hear me now?
I hear you now, loud and clear. You must have a Verizon phone.
It's AT&T.
It must be all that damn ice and snow that you got over there.
Oh my God, dude! It's coming a blizzard right now. It's like it's snowing massive flakes right now.
Oh, I had a flight tomorrow that's gotten canceled already.
I bet you. And speaking of that, you know, really quickly, now that it's an appropriate time, this was emailed to us by a good friend of the show. And I definitely wanted to share that this picture with everybody that's over on YouTube and on, and all of that. And for those of you that are unfortunately not looking and watching on our YouTube page and whatnot, it is a cartoon figure. And basically, it's a guy that's standing outside with snow and icicles and shit like that. And it has a bunch of windmills. And they're all frozen. And you have this guy with a Biden-Harris t-shirt on. And he has a little picket sign that says, "Stop global warming. Build more windmills."
Appropriate, ain't it?
That's fantastic. Yes, exactly.
You want to hear something funnier than that?
Oh, sure. I'm all about that. What do you
There was a TikTok video of this girl that was in the middle of Walmart, and she was wearing a Trump mask, and she said, "Biden is not my president." She screamed it out loud.
Okay.
Well, oh, my Lord.
Then this guy responded to her, and he was wearing a Biden-Harris shirt and a Biden-Harris hat, and he said, "Yes, Biden is your president." And then this other guy responded to him and said, "And yes, you raped a 12-year-old, and he throwed it up on the screen where the guy was an actual sex offender.
Wow.
Oh, my.
That's crazy.
And great show you did this evening on your tribute to Rush Limbaugh, by the way, Jeremy.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Do you have any words to share with our audience what your thoughts are on Rush? Unfortunately, him passing this morning.
Well, I know people talk. I know how people talk about how Rush is, you know, a little, he got a little too out there for him sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I admitted earlier when I called Nancy, when I called Chuck, you know, when I go back and I look, yeah. And Mitch, when I call those people and I get over the top, it's not because I'm just creating that. Like I'm honest with my stuff. Like I steal from people. I steal from Paul Harvey because I always like to listen to Paul Harvey.
Yeah, me too.
I loved how Paul Harvey would just bring the facts and like you come back tomorrow for the rest of the story. I thought that was beautiful the way he would do that every day. And everybody listened to him because they knew he was telling the truth. But then what I loved about Rush is that sometimes, you know, I didn't even agree with Rush. And, you know, it was fine for me not to agree with him. But what I loved about Rush is that when Rush would go over the top, my God, he meant he was going over the top. He was going out there. And he didn't care if he pissed you off. He didn't care if you called him a racist. He didn't care if you called him whatever. I mean, anything that they use against a conservative. Now, Rush didn't care because Rush was Rush. And if you didn't like it, then you could kiss his ass.
Right.
And that's the way, you know, I take it myself sometimes where, when I went off on my episode and I said, you know, screw Nancy Pelosi. You know what? F her. Let's call her. Which I didn't say F her, but, you know, but I was like, let's call her. Let's see what she'll say.
I was there for that.
Yeah, and you know that's just one. You know that's just one of the things that you know I got from Rush because I listened to Rush. But something you know I said earlier that you know people look at Rush and they point at the controversial things he said, and you know us dealing with a little bit of controversial things recently. What I've learned is as you get older, and as you sit in the chair. And you're sitting there and you're the one sitting there with a microphone. You don't know what that person went through. So it's easy to point the finger, but it's hard to sit in the chair.
That it is. And you know, you have to admire somebody like that, even if you don't, like I said, even if you don't agree with the shit that he says, you have to have the respect and admiration for somebody that's willing to put themselves out there like that. And, you know, he has, you know, when you bring up the whole, you know, the attitude of, if you don't like me, well, you can go, you know, you can go screw off or you can kiss my ass. I feel the same
way. Or you can basically just go pound sand, in other words, to put it politely.
Yeah, that's the polite way. I'm not very polite sometimes, but, you know, it is what it is.
You know, we like to be unapologetically unfiltered here at the Slightly Serious Show.
Since I'm on the Slightly Serious Show and you're from California, maybe some of the fuckers that control HARP out there in Alaska, maybe they're them people are listening. Could you please turn HARP off? I mean, my God, it is snowing like a son of a gun out here.
Well, that's what happens when we have global warming. Things get colder, you know.
Dude, Lynn Wood commenting again?
I'm telling you, man, we've almost got a foot of snow. And this is just in a couple of hours. I mean, this is about, it's been snowing now for almost 3 hours, and we've already almost got, and it's got no sign of slowing down.
So have you went out and built me a snowman yet? I've been asking you for a snowman.
No, I told my wife earlier, I said, you know what? Somebody needs to call Disney and tell them to go buy Elsa some pampering or something to get her to calm down, because she is letting it loose down here.
Oh, my. And we had put something in the chat. Governor Kay Ivey, very sad to hear legendary talk show radio host Rush Limbaugh has succumbed to his battle with lung cancer. His profound decades-long career as a national voice for conservatives will be sincerely missed on the airwaves. And you know what the sad thing about it is, and I'm not going to bring any of these to light on our show or anything like that, because, you know, it's pretty sad that you have liberals who want to be pieces of shit and say the most horrible things about someone dying. I mean,
slightly, they're the loving party. They love everybody.
They're united. They're uniters. They're not dividers.
That's right.
But come on, have fucking respect for somebody for once in your life.
I think those liberal buffoons need to quit talking out of their asses and show some dignity.
That was so disrespectful, so horrible, some of these things that I've seen this afternoon.
I mean, we've seen way worse.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, for crying out loud, someone just lost their life. A family lost a loved one. I mean, by them going out and saying all that shit about him, I mean, I guess in their eyes, it would be okay for, I don't know, I'm just going to reach out and grab something that, you know, people would be all happy and excited because I'm not even going to say it.
Donald Trump died.
Well, I'm not even saying that, but you know what I'm saying. Put the shoe on the other foot.
Well, it's true, man, because I don't know if you remember this or not. Just being honest here, if you went back to Twitter when Donald Trump's brother died, liberals were saying, "Hey, God, wrong Trump." That was one of the trends on Twitter was wrong Trump.
But remember, too, when all the riots were going on previously over the summer and all, they didn't say one thing about those people that died or anything else. But when the Capitol riots started, oh my God, how awful it was. AOC was threatened. She was almost killed and she wasn't even in a damn building.
Right.
I mean, you know, it depends on who the person is that's suffering as far as whether or not they attack them. And it's bullshit.
Right. And here's, and I'm going to continue to say this, and I'm going to continue to promote this. And the fact that the impeachment, you know, part due is over with President Trump being, you know, basically being, you know, them trying to impeach him. And then, you know, obviously, like we had said, it was never going to happen. But now that that's over, it's time to start another impeachment trial. The impeachment of Vice President Kamala Harris for her role in inciting violence across this nation. When are the conservatives going to start pushing that agenda? That's what I want to know. I mean, if President Trump, if the Democrats think that President Trump incited violence in that little speech that he had, where he told people to peacefully go to the Capitol and have their voices heard, if that is inciting violence, conservatives in Congress, get a pair of fucking balls and start impeaching the current vice president of this country, because she did a hell of a lot more than he ever said. along with other Democrats such as Maxine Waters. I'm tired. I'm tired of the double standards in this country. It's fucking getting to be unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
I mean, where does it end? I mean, you know, hell, you know, we were lied to by Biden and friends back in November saying, oh, we got a way to solve the COVID-19, this and that. Yeah, nothing's fucking happening. The only thing that might happen is they might fucking force you to start wearing double masks, maybe triple masks even.
Did you see the article from the Washington Post the other day that said that Biden is only following the plan of his predecessor?
I did not see that.
Yeah, the Washington Post had that article the other day that Biden was doing nothing but following the steps of his predecessor.
Yeah, and following the same thing that Dr. Fauci says. Fucking Dr. Fauci, they've been following whatever the hell that comes out of that guy's mouth since the beginning of this.
Well, but one day he argues with Kamala, the next day he agrees with Kamala. That, I mean, the guy is spineless, or he's just totally mentally gone like Biden. I haven't figured that one out yet.
Well, I've been putting some stuff together on Biden. It won't probably be ready till next week, but I'm telling you, it's very evident that the guy, just as much as I would hate to see Kamala Harris become our nation's president, there's no way in hell that Biden has the mental capacity to be in office. There really isn't.
Well, was it just today he was saying there was no COVID vaccine before he took over office?
Yeah.
He was vaccinated before he was inaugurated.
Yes. I mean, he must have gone, I guess. I don't know. I don't get it. There's a lot of things like that he's coming out of his mouth. But I'm just tired of the rhetoric. I'm tired of the double talk, the double speak. I'm tired of the left. I guess I'm just tired of the left. I think maybe that's what it is. It's okay for them to go out riot, to be burn buildings down and shit like that. But God forbid people go to the Capitol and protest. You know, I mean, there was a hell of a lot more that happened over the summer last year than happened on January 6th. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it at that. Anyways, I do have a couple other stories to get to really quickly. There was a story that was forwarded to me. I haven't had the time to read it, so we're going to read it together. A woman accused in Capitol riot said she was recruited by Proud Boys, according to the feds. An alleged Capitol rioter accused of bragging about her involvement in last month's insurrection is believed to have shared on social media that she was recruited to a Kansas City chapter of Proud Boys, court papers show. Felicia Canold, a 26-year-old from Tucson, Arizona, was arrested on February the 11th on a slew of charges, which include conspiracy, civil disorder, obstruction of an official proceeding, and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, U.S. Department of Justice records show. Court papers further indicate that she not only bragged about her involvement on January 6th, Capitol siege, she is also believed to have boasted in a Snapchat video that she was recently recruited by the Kansas City Proud Boys. In a video from her Snapchat account, a female voice said she has been recruited into a effing chapter from Kansas City. That's what the court papers state. In the quote, in the post, the woman claimed she had been told that even though she was not from Kansas City, she was now with them now. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. I would like to see a little bit more, but I don't know. I at the end of the day, I think a lot of the violence is paid by both sides, to be honest with you. If you're going to ask me, I don't condone any of it. I'm all about resisting and having our voices heard and stuff like that. But we'll continue to monitor that. The other one I want to bring up is, you know, what do you guys think about schools? Should they be reopening? I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to keep our kids home? I read a recent report that, suicides are on the rise with adolescents. Okay. A lot of people, you know, blame that on COVID-19 because they are, you know, being kept at home, not being able to socialize and they're depressed and stuff like that.
Open it not just one day a week. Open the damn schools.
Okay. I agree with that. And one of the things that is pressing right now is obviously they haven't passed a COVID-19 bill again yet, like, you know, we were promised months ago.
Uh-huh. That's because they're giving $200 million to WHO organization.
Well, not only that, but you know what they want? They want to make sure that we fund the schools more because they need more supplies.
Slightly, let me ask you something. What have they done with the freaking money for the past year? Because they haven't paid for meals. They haven't had to turn on the power. They haven't had to pay the security guards to come in. Where's all that money going? Maybe one year of taxes is not there now or what?
Maybe the teacher unions. I don't know. I mean, I guess the teachers have to get paid for still teaching from home, I guess. But
well, what about that was all the additional money?
Well, that was one of the things I brought up last year. If our kids are not going to school, we should see some tax benefits, some tax breaks, because we shouldn't be having to pay for, you know, all the schooling. Well, that's not ever, you know.
That's kind of like taxation without representation a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think you're onto something right there.
I think I've heard that before.
It's been around. I don't know. Maybe they got rid of that along with the statues. Just saying. Anyways, I agree. Jess Duck says, yes, they need to be in school. Our school district hopes to have the middle and high school back in school, in person, back in March. That's good. I agree. Doomsday says he agrees that we should get a tax refund. Anyways, the reason I bring that up is the article that I was reading earlier today. Basically, the Biden administration is giving mixed messages on school reopening, his promise to reopen them. While President Joe Biden just affirmed children are unlikely to spread COVID-19 and is talking about opening schools by April, health officials in his administration are recommending measures that appear likely to lead to a reduction of in-person instruction. The dissonance comes after Biden said his press secretary had given incorrect information about his goals for reopening. I wonder if that's kind of like the information that Cuomo got. Meanwhile, many public school teachers are still unwilling to teach in person until a litany of demands is fulfilled. I wonder if one of those demands is more cash. Just saying. Including vaccination priority and regular testing. Like I said, I think it has to do with funding more than vaccinations and testing. During a February 16th town hall, Biden was asked by a parent of an 8-year-old about risk of COVID-19. He said children are the safest group in the whole world, and it was not likely that a child would catch the virus or spread it further. That roughly mirrors what Rochelle Walensky, Biden's head of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, had previously said. Quote, the data from schools suggests that there's very little transmission that is happening within the schools, especially when there's masking and distancing occurring. And the reason why I want to focus on, it's all about funding, right? Well, there's many private schools across this nation that are open. Those school kids are going to school. COVID-19 is not running rampant in there. So the only difference between the two is unionized teachers. They want more funding. It's all about the cash.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like that in politics, right? And I think when it's all said and done, at the end of the day, unfortunately, most of the decisions that happen in this country have to do with cash money. We'll be right back in a few seconds.
You've been listening to the Slightly Serious Podcast. If you haven't laughed, been offended, or engaged, then turn up the damn volume. Be sure to follow and catch us weeknights at 6:30 p.m. Pacific.
I do have some exciting news that just broke about a couple hours ago. Actually, the last hour it broke. But anyways, the San Diego Padres, you know, that wonderful sports team that plays baseball, Pert?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guess what they did? They have just renegotiated a 14-year deal. Yeah, 14 years. Anybody want to take a guess for Fernando Tatis?
Too much. That's my guess.
Oh, yeah, baby. It is.
300 million.
Close. 14 years for $340 million. Oh, yeah. So
nobody's worth that in a sport. I don't care if you can be the whole team.
Nope. Hey, if anybody needs some stimulus, look up Fernando. Maybe he can help you out with a little stimulus check. But yeah, $340 million. That's an outrageous amount of cash, don't you think?
Slightly, let me ask you something.
Yes.
What can he do?
Oh my God, the guy can field, he can hit. I mean, I get it. I mean, for $340 million, you'd think the guy could come up with a COVID-19 vaccine that's like 100% positive, like no doubt about it. But unfortunately, in the world of sports, we give millions upon millions of dollars for people who can basically run, catch, hit a ball. But he is amazing.
Go ahead.
Compared to a lot of athletes and stuff like that, this guy is I would have to say he's probably overall the most talented baseball player currently in the Major League Baseball system.
Well, it looks like one thing he can't do is schedule a haircut.
Yeah, he's got, what do they call the dreads going on? Yeah. But no, he's very youthful and he's very, very, very rich now.
By youthful, how old or how young?
He's like 22.
Oh God.
Let me see. I'm sure this article's Cornerstone of 14-year, $340 million contract extension. Third largest contract extension in terms of new total money added and the longest terms of conditional player. 22 years old. Tatis Jr., 22 years of age, would not have been eligible for arbitration until next year.
What concerns me about giving a young man that much money is seeing him within a year drugged out, hookers, in jail. I mean,
Well, he might have the hookers. I don't know if he's going to put drugs.
But the way, what was his name, went from the Browns, they drafted him. I can't even remember his name now.
Oh, God.
That just totally flipped out because he had so much money and superstardom. And
Johnny.
The fame and fortune Johnny, just got to his head.
Johnny Manziel.
Yes.
Johnny Football. He was like, what Johnny Manziel reminded me of? He reminded me of a former San Diego Charger by the name of Ryan Leaf.
Well, you know what Johnny Manziel's doing now, don't you?
He's probably still doing coke and having hookers over. I don't know. What is he doing?
Playing in the fan-controlled football league where the fans control the plays.
Jeez. Well, Cummings, you know what I thought he was going to say? Or what he reminded him of? You'll get this one probably. Kenny fucking Powers. He's bounding down, baby.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I'm sure many people know who Ryan Leaf was, right? He was supposed to be the next the next coming of Johnny Unitas or something for the Chargers.
That bust.
He turned out to be a huge bust, and
he was a teen idol in the 70s. Oh, it's Leaf Garrett.
But no, he never was able to make it. And, he's had a troubled life. I feel bad for the guy. But then again, maybe I shouldn't, because he had his chance. He had his opportunity, one of which many of us will never, ever have.
Yeah, he's still a millionaire.
Well, I think he probably snorted most of that up his nose by now. So I don't think he's
got that's like, I don't know if you remember this guy or not. Pert may remember him. But did you ever watch the New York Giants and ever see a quarterback called Jared Lorenzen or Jared Lorenz?
Jared Lorenz.
No. He was called the Hefty Lefty.
The name sounds familiar, but I don't actually remember it.
He was the quarterback from Kentucky, and he weighed like...
Oh, yes, yes. The 300-some-pound quarterback.
Yeah, he played for the Giants.
Yeah.
You know he's dead now, right?
No.
Yeah, he's dead.
Really?
Yeah, he died. Wow. He died of a heart attack because he played in the arena football. He played in arena football when the arena league was still around. And dude, he weighed like 400 freaking pounds out there.
He was not built for arena football.
That's crazy.
I remember seeing him in Kentucky games though, where basically they just hiked the ball to him and he just go right through the defensive line.
Oh wow. Well, there's another sports, other sports news. Not not so much on the happy side of things, but also a another story related here to San Diego. A former San Diego Charger wide receiver by the name of Vincent Jackson. He was found dead in a hotel room on earlier this week on Monday, according to Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. He was 38 years old. He had a great career here in San Diego. He was I wouldn't say a superstar, but he was a pretty good wide receiver. But basically, they're saying that a lot of alcohol was in the system, so I think they're going to attribute his alcohol issues with his death. he was a three-time Pro Bowler, caught 272 passes for 4,700 yards, and scored 37 touchdowns as a Charger, and he retired back in 2018.
And didn't the police do a welfare check the day before at the hotel on him?
That
thought I read that.
Yeah, there was a missing persons case that was filed. Let's see. On February 10th, his family had contacted the sheriff's office to report him missing, which led to them filing that report a day later. And basically, the housekeeper found his body on Monday.
Wow.
And there's no signs of any trauma or any foul play. So they're still going to try to determine what exactly happened. But yeah, sad. But it's one of those things to where it's I don't want to say it's not surprising, but it seems like it happens all too often. And not just with athletes themselves, but just stars or people that make a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And I think what I think it goes back to is, you know, for those of us that aren't as fortunate as these star athletes or people that make a lot of money, you know, money is relative to, you know, no matter how much you make, it's all relative to how much you spend.
Uh-huh.
The person out there busting their ass making $15 an hour might be just as happy as the guy making $2 million. And the reason I say that is because the more you make, the more you spend.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, you know, we look at, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr. making $340 million over a span of 14 years. I mean, we're like, oh, fuck, that's so great. But It obviously it's great. Yeah, in one aspect, it is great. You don't have any financial worries unless you are going to just piss it away, or if you're going to try to make money and buy AMC or something like that. But the thing about it is when these superstars make this type of money, you know, the biggest issue that a lot of these people have is the fact of what is it that's going to keep them going in life.
I thought you were going to say their accountant screwing them.
Yeah, that's it.
Happens a lot.
No, you're true about that. That is 100% true on that.
Trent Richardson, who was the first round pick for the Cleveland Browns. I can't remember what year it was anyway. He was out of Alabama, and now the guy is broke. He made like 50 mil, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things he found out once he started going broke, he couldn't figure out why he was going broke. He was paying for like 10 Netflix accounts that he had no idea that his family was like his cousins and stuff had Netflix accounts that they were charging to his cards. And they were straight up taking advantage of the guy. Like, I think that they went to they got a debit card. They got a hold of his debit card and they went to a bar one night and spent like $30,000 on drinks.
Oh,
geez. Wow.
Yep, his family screwed him.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, when you start making that type of money, you can't really trust anybody. Are they really your friend, or are they your friend because you got money?
Are they come to you saying that they're your long-lost cousin or your some other long-lost relative or family member that and they come and want to tell you this bullcrap story about you, that I know your real mom and dad. They gave you up for adoption when you were a baby, and then they come up with another bullcrap story that if you believe it to be true, like where are they at? I'd like to meet them. And then they'd be like, they died quite some time ago.
Well, if they're long lost, there's a reason for that, because you never, you know, if somebody if I ever hit the lottery and they come to me and they say, Jeremy, I'm your long lost brother, I would say, well, there's a reason you're long lost is because I never came looking for you. Goodbye, Felicia.
That's a good one, Jeremy.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, and I think Jess was saying it, money will not fix your problem. And Pertwee's right. Just ask Big Sexy. But and that's the thing. I mean, when it comes to, you know, like Fernando in this case, $340 million. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd like to have the problem. But if I were to make that kind of money, I would just keep to myself. I'd go live on an island. Nobody around me. Still do podcast. Well, I would invest it. Why would I spend it?
Well, why would you have it if you're going to live on an island and can't enjoy the money?
Well, I would own the island. So, see, you own the island.
Put in your own Costco.
Oh, wait, I better not say own my own island because people will start to think that I'm going to be like a Jeffrey Epstein or something.
James Epstein over here. Epstein,
yeah, no, I don't know what I would do. I know one thing I would not do. I would not give it to any politician. That's for damn sure. I don't know. What would you do with $340 million, producer Eric?
I know I would probably... to like manage money, I would definitely need to take consumer credit counseling classes. That way I'm not tempted to squander money and investing it properly.
But if you got $340 million, I mean, you can squander some. I mean, what's a couple of here and there?
You know, because I would have to have money for a rainy day, of course. And then, because I would, the only thing I'd be willing to give away money for is to help people who are legitimately in need and not some Tom, Dick, and Harry that's going to come and feed me a sob story, expect me to believe it.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Well, what about, I was thinking about it, I'm like, maybe I'd be like Donald Trump and I'd just start buying the politicians.
Well, he was good at that for so many years before he ran for president, right?
Exactly. Per, what would you do with $340 million?
You know what? I'd have to ask Honeybee what I would do with it.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, Pert. Honeybee, what would you do with $340 million of Pertwee's money? I don't know if she's in here tonight, but
I love BP's comment. Go buy Nancy Pelosi with ice cream.
Right. Yeah. Actually, I would buy her a lifetime supply to where it would be her eating it nonstop so we'd never hear another peep out of her for the rest of her life.
Or just get her some Gorilla Glue that everybody keeps putting in their hair so she can put that in her mouth.
Yeah. What about you, Jeremy?
How much was it? $340 million?
Yeah.
$300 million.
Give it all away except for $20 million.
All of it away except for $20 million. What are you gonna do with the $20 million?
Nah, start a pretty good business, invest some of it, live off the interest.
Okay.
Doomsday, I liked his comments. Form my own country on an island where child molesters are killed by public hanging by law and citizens be required, you know, to own a firearm. But I heard that is a law over in Switzerland.
It's a law.
He wants them to own a fireman, not a firearm.
My bad.
I'm not opposed to people owning firemen either, but I'm just saying.
I'm sorry, I misread that. But I heard like a firearm law over in Switzerland, though.
Fireman.
I would have to be politically correct, though. We'd have to say fireman or woman.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you just let everybody know what's on your Adam and Eve wish list?
BP says me will take the fireman.
Everyone could use fireman, though. I mean,
Jess says she'd like the fireman too.
Well, yeah, the fireman could put out a fire, or he can do other things.
He can start a fire, right?
Start a fire, exactly. Oh my goodness. Anybody on the panel have anything they'd like to bring up this evening's podcast before we head out for a meeting in about 10 minutes? I know it's a quickie. We don't do quickies very often.
Well, I'm glad the sun came back today here in Georgia after days of like cloud cover and rain. But we ain't getting the snow here, luckily.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's been cold out here. It's lower 60s, upper 50s in the evening time, which is really freezing. Yeah. And, you know, I even have my jacket on.
Chris sent you an article today, James.
Inside. Let me take a look at that really quick. We do have a little bit of time. Pert, do you have anything you would like to go over?
No, sorry.
BP mentions Biden not supporting the $50,000 school debt forgiveness.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. I mean, I would be all about him forgiving $50,000 of student debt. But at the same time, if I have credit card debt, he should forgive that too.
Right.
Yeah, it's only fair. I mean, if you're going to forgive kids for their freaking debt, why don't you forgive me for mine?
Hey, what do you think about them wanting to give everybody $3,000 a month for children under the new stimulus bill?
$3,000 a month for what?
Yeah, for having a child. They're wanting to do it for a year. $3,000 a month if you have a child. Per child, too.
That would create more baby factories is what it would do. That'd
be, you know what? Right. If that's the case, Big Sexy and I need to go adopt. Unbelievable.
Yeah, they want to give $3,000 a month for a year.
That is crazy. Let me. Who was it that said they sent me something?
It was Chris from Forgotten Teens.
Every time, let me see. Every time he sends me something, it says it's not available. The link I followed may be broken. Whatever it is, must be really good, because each time I send it, it takes it away. Let me see, Chris, if you are there. Cash App. I have a $750 Cash App that awaits me. What the hell is that about?
Is that somebody just sent you $750, bro?
Oh, damn. Hell yeah. Thank you, whoever sent me $750. Maybe
Chris is in the room. I don't know if he's where you can call in or not.
If you're able to call in, Chris, I got about 5 minutes. We can do that really quickly. But is it the one...
Slightly, he can't talk right now, ladies and gentlemen. He's so excited that somebody paid $750 for his OnlyFans account.
Right? Yeah, that's all about. But if you can resend me the link, Chris, because the link that you sent me via email says it's no longer available. So I have no idea what the article was about.
That link is like a Democrat. It doesn't work.
Democratic voters, don't you?
Well, no. See, look, it says
the one from today. He says, "Are you on that one?"
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I tried to open. I just tried to.
You know how to starve a Democrat, don't you, James?
No.
Hide their food stamp card in their work boots.
Oh, you're bad. But see that it says, James, a pending $750 Cash App awaits me. Should I click yes to continue? I don't know. Sounds like a scam to me.
Well, you want to make sure it isn't too good to be true. How about Mr. C is saying do it?
Do it? Okay. I'll say yes. Let's see what it says.
Is it coming from Prince Alamala Kala Kala Kala?
It might.
No, this one's Prince Nicky Knuckledog.
Chris says y'all could talk about it tomorrow night when we have the full 90 minutes back.
Okay. Yeah, you can.
Because of Facebook.
You can't trust Fascist Book. I'm surprised they even allow us our show to air over there.
No, Facebook's cool now, dude. They're the conservative version of social media, apparently.
What?
Oh, my God.
They're not taking anybody down.
They're not?
No, dude. They're taking down. They took down some liberal groups in Australia, and people are losing their mind.
Oh, right. Way to go.
So they're really losing their shit.
Unbelievable. What's going on over at Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg, somebody hit the right switch and Commander Data came back.
Holy crap. I think Mark should focus on sticking his head back in his books. I mean, he came up with a great platform. Just leave it alone. Let people do what they want to do. If they want to get on there and play games, you'll make millions. Or you already have millions.
You know, and Alpha Mike is warning that don't fall for it. Facebook is still evil.
Oh, come on, Mike.
Hey, Prophet.
Mike, they just banned the liberals. We got to celebrate that. That's something worth celebrating, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're pissed. Like, they have no idea what to do. They're like, how could social media ban a liberal?
Right? Here's the thing. So here, and this is to show you how much objectivity I have. Even if they're liberal, why are they getting rid of them? Let them talk. Let them say whatever the hell it is that they want to say. It's called free speech, people.
Well, and the conservatives that got kicked off the platforms, and if they're now kicking the liberals off, maybe this brings, you know, this might be their spin on the new, and their new spin on the meaning of payback's a bitch.
Right.
He was supposed to bring balance to the
board. Yeah.
But it's defeating the argument that I always present, and that is that you should allow anybody who has anything on their mind to be able to put it on your platform.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. It's about people communicating. It doesn't matter what side they're from. Anyways, welcome to the show. What is going on, Forgotten? How are you?
I'm doing good. I can't seem to find that story again, but I found a different one, but the source is bullshit, I'm sure.
Okay.
But
what does it have to do with?
Apparently, the Insider put out an article today on February 17th, 2021. Watch Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino came tumbling down
into a cheering crowd.
Did you see that?
Yeah, they've been scheduling that to implode that for years. It was old and dilapidated. They actually even auctioned off the chance for someone to push the button, but I don't know who got that.
Oh, really? I didn't know anything about that. Huh.
Well, here's a quick article before we head out, and we'll go over that. I appreciate you bringing that to me. It says Atlantic City, New Jersey was not the biggest or the best implosion ever. An auction for the right to detonate the dynamite to begin the implosion of Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey, fizzled. Front row seats to view Wednesday morning's spectacle were sold on the cheap. Onlookers in cars hoping to witness the symbolic finale of the former president's casino empire in the seaside resort city were charged, get this, a whopping $10. Yeah, that's right, $10. And herded into a lot most recently used as a pandemic-era food distribution site. So the implosion of what was once the premier gaming destination in Atlantic City came less than a month after its best-known former owner, Donald J. Trump, left the White House after losing re-election. Well, it was stolen from him. But anyways, and became the first president in history to be impeached twice and acquitted twice. The tower came down after 9 a.m. amid a huge cloud of dust in an eruption of cheers. Quote, it's an end of a not-so-great era, said Jennifer Owen, 50, who bid $575 to win a front-row VIP breakfast in an oceanfront pavilion. A direct view of the implosion. God, Jennifer, you just wasted $575. We should, you know what? Producer Eric, can you get on this? I would like for us to try to reach out to Jennifer Owen tomorrow on our show.
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk to her about her spending $575 for her VIP breakfast. I would like to know what she had for breakfast for $575.
Maybe able to help you with that. I think that's Alexander's sister.
Alpha Mike says in the chat, I'm Jersey born and raised, and even I hate this state, but don't fuck with a Jerseyan because you'll regret it. LOL.
Right. All right. So that's going to be, we'll try to see if we can get Jennifer Owen, who's 50 years old. So she might not be too hard to get in touch with. Obviously, she lives in the New Jersey area. So we'll definitely try to get her on tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a hell of a lot of fun to have some person that has like $575 just to throw away. I mean, at least went to the real casino and gambled it away.
Yeah. I'll have you send that information to me on Twitter DM, when you get a chance later.
All right. Well, we are a little bit after our time here tonight. I appreciate you calling in, Forgotten. Pertwee, it's good to see you. Cummings is Culture Kitchen tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning or whenever the hell it is.
It's probably 6 or 7 p.m. Eastern time. So that's around 3 or 4 p.m. Pacific, depending on what his schedule looks like, if he's not doing the 2 p.m. Eastern.
No, I'm moving. I'm pretty much moving over to the 6 Central, 7 Eastern thing. Easier.
But we got to get on the hell out of here. I'm already 3 minutes
behind. Well, Trice Talk is going live in 30 minutes. And I'll be back at the Old Man tomorrow. And then we're back, of course, 23 hours from now.
That we are. And we appreciate you coming in tonight. Have a great evening. Hopefully you all get stimulated via, you know, a stimulus check coming in a short time near you. And
I hope so, too.
If you find mine, please let me know. Till next time, have a good night, everybody. Love you.
Night all.
See you later, everybody.
Thanks for listening to tonight's show. Not all content is endorsed by Slightly. However, if you'd like to contact me for any reason, email us over at slightlyseriousshow@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Don't forget to share the show and help us grow our audience. And remember, we mean that in the most serious way. Until the next time, good night, everybody. And remember, I love you.
And I love your show.
Hope to see everybody at Trice Talk.